the cross, the work of the Spirit in our life, and the words that you speak to us. Father, open our hearts to receive those words, to hear them, to hear as you speak to us as a church and as individuals. We pray that you help us to hear what you say to us and to make that, put that into action in our lives as we serve you and one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start with a quote for you. The children now love luxury, they have bad manners, contempt for authority, they show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. They no longer rise when elders enter the room, they contradict their parents, chatter before company and tyrannise their teachers. I wonder if you know not only who said that, but how long ago they said it. Ian's busting to say it, aren't you? Very close. Thanks, Joff. Just click it one more for us, Joff. Here's the answer. The answer. Oh, sorry, go back one. Go back one. It should appear at the bottom there. The answer, I'll tell you the answer. Socrates, 2,500 years ago, said that. How often do you hear people speak about children like that? Nothing's changed. Not only do we think that children haven't changed, people's attitudes towards children haven't changed. Children have tantrums. They break windows, they spill things on the carpet, they break your computer. They get in there and press buttons on your computer and shut it down, and you don't know how they did it. It's unbelievable. They lose mobile phones, they vomit in your car and on your back. They speak rudely to you and they think only about themselves. Yet Jesus goes to so much trouble to say that we must welcome children. In chapter 9, verse 37. Why does he say it? And what does it mean to welcome children? And I think it really has to do with the way that we treat them to start with. And so I just want us to have a think about the way we treat children in Australia. You would probably think as a country we are better than many underdeveloped countries in the way we treat children. Not so. Let me give you a few statistics. Thanks, Geoff. Abuse in Australia, there were last year 317,000 reports of child abuse. 55,000 of those reports were confirmed. Doesn't mean they were the only ones that happened, they were confirmed. Here's the way that we abuse children in one year. 21,000 emotionally abused, 16,000 abused by neglect, 12,500 physically abused, and 5,500 sexually abused. That's just the confirmed cases that were reported. In one year. One more statistic. It's estimated at the moment that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 7 boys have been sexually abused in their life. You go into school, you put all the boys together, 1 in 7 of them have been sexually abused on average, and 1 in 4 girls. How else do we treat children? Well, in Australia, in 2007, there were, in Australia, 25,000 homeless children in Australia. 90,000 children are killed every year by abortion, many abortion by choice. That is 23% of all pregnancies in Australia. Throughout the world, 27,000 children per day die of starvation. Per day, that's the equivalent of 75 fully loaded Boeing 747s crashing a day. That is the way that our world treats children. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a child and had him stand among them, taking him in his arms. He said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Jesus, as in this passage, caught the disciples having an argument about who is the greatest among them. And so Jesus calls over a child and he embraces the child. He takes him in his arms, gives him a hug and says to the disciples, if you want to be great, if you want to be truly great, then welcome this child. And you can guarantee that the disciples, as they were having their chat along the road about who was the greatest, I guarantee children didn't enter into that conversation. Oh no, I look after children better than you do. I can't see them arguing about that, can you? You can guarantee that. See, in the culture of Jesus' day, children were considered to be among the least. They were unimportant. They held a very low place in society. And we even see in that second reading we had in chapter 10, verse 13, the disciples were still stopping people bringing children to Jesus because they didn't want Jesus to be bothered by these insignificant people called children. I don't think much has changed in 2,000 years. As much as we like to think that we're a society that looks after our children, we don't. We don't do it very well. Children are considered lowly in our society today. Many people, ourselves included, simply ignore children or consider them many times over to be a nuisance, a distraction. But Jesus says to the disciples, true greatness does not come by doing miraculous healings. True greatness doesn't come by preaching a great sermon or to hanging around with important people. True greatness doesn't come from impressing grown-ups. True greatness comes by being last, not first. True greatness comes by being willing to serve the very least among us. So Jesus says to the disciples, if you want to be great, welcome a child. And if you can't welcome a child, you cannot welcome me or my Father. Welcoming a child in Jesus' name means welcoming a child the way Jesus welcomes them, as a servant. Can you welcome a child by serving them? Because Jesus says, if you cannot welcome a child by serving them, you cannot have a heart that welcomes God. Let's make that black and white. If you cannot have a heart that welcomes children, you do not have the heart that Jesus says you need to welcome his Father. It's not about being nice to children. It's not even about doing children's ministry. Many people don't have those gifts. It's not about even just talking with children. It's about serving children. It's much deeper than the stuff on the service. Let me tell you a story I remember about a church who started a youth group. It's a true story here in Sydney. It was a small church, a church that was struggling and was going to close unless they did something radical. And so they, with their last amount of money, they employed a youth worker, and that youth worker started the youth group. And he was doing a great job of bringing youth into the church and sharing the news of Jesus with them. Until one day, the grown-ups arrived at church on a Sunday, and there in the hall was a broken window. And they assumed it was from the youth group kicking balls around inside. And they were absolutely right. And they complained. Boy, did they complain. You see, they were prepared to have a youth ministry, but they weren't prepared to serve those children in the way that Jesus would, with sacrifice, patience, and love. So the minister actually asked them a very simple question. He said, would you prefer a church with no youth group and no broken windows, or a church with a youth group and the occasional broken window? Make your choice. The very next week, the grown-ups again came to church on the Sunday, and there on the carpet were paint stains. The complaints started again until just one member turned to the minister and said, isn't it great that we have children at our church? And they cleaned it up just like a servant would. Now, I reckon that story could be told of nearly every church, at least every church I've been in. Jesus would ask, who are the true servants? Who are the ones who are patient and loving and caring to our children, despite whatever happens with them? Who are the ones welcoming children? Who are the ones serving the very least among us? Who are the greatest in God's eyes? Because if you want to be truly great, if you want to be great in God's eyes, then you must be prepared to be the last. The last. Not somewhere around the middle. Not towards the end. But the last. and the servant of all. I wonder if we've ever thought in our heads what that really means. The servant of all. Struck me as I prepared this sermon, of all our relationships, why do I think, at least, and many people I talk to think, that serving children is one of the most difficult jobs to do? Why does Jesus make them the example here to the disciples when he's talking about serving and being great? From all my efforts in research, what I've come up with is that I think serving children actually involves a great deal of sacrifice and humility. And it often lacks recognition. We can be proud. We can show pride in the way we serve among adults. We get recognition for what we do. We often hear comments after the service, myself and you would hear these: great sermon, great music today, thanks for the morning tea, thanks for leading us in prayer, thanks for the men's or women's event you ran, it was fantastic. We often hear that recognition. We get that recognition with grown-up ministry. It's not often a child comes to a Sunday school teacher afterwards and says, thanks so much for the time you spent during the week preparing that lesson. It really meant a lot to me. It does happen. In fact, this week at Kids Club, for the first time this term, one child came up to me and said, thank you. I know they're thankful, but they're kids. They don't just come up and recognise you as being wonderful and great. They don't think about all the time behind the scenes. Children's ministry is often difficult because of the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. The lack of recognition, not only by kids but by others. The fact that they're out there doing something else while we're in here. We don't see it. It's very sacrificial work. And often, and here's the really hard bit, I think, with working with children, you don't often get to see the results. You or they could leave the church and move to another area. You never see what happens to them in the future. The kids I teach scripture to, 30 kids a week, I don't know what happens to them next. They walk away and just have to trust God that his word's been delivered. Another exception for you. Only a couple of months ago, I got this email from someone who used to come to Kids Club here. That's the email up there, for those of you with good eyesight. For those of you who haven't, I'll read a snippet from it. It says, G'day All Saints Waitara. I used to go to your church when I was a child. In December of 1997, we settled in the Hornsby Waitara area, and I attended the last two school weeks at Waitara Primary School. Luckily, the house we moved into was almost next door to a boy called Brendan Cox. He attended Kids Club on a Thursday after school at your church. He took me along to the last Kids Club for the year, which he said was going to be a party, and I thought I'd go along and enjoy the food. Little did I know that I was in for more than that. As well as making friends with Brendan, I made friends with all at that church, including the pastor. That was Gordon at the time. Eventually, I went to Kids Church on a Sunday. Jump forward a few paragraphs. The Sunday church I now go to is called Lighthouse Family Church. More than 11 years after I first said sorry to God, I changed from the shy boy who had trouble making and keeping friends and with no look to the future to an almost 20-year-old man of God who is now studying at uni to become a primary school teacher, a teacher who will impact the lives of young children as they take their first steps into life, as God did for me. For now, I can take comfort in thanking your church for sowing the seed of God into my life. And it's signed Garth McCrory. That's a very rare letter that you get in ministry. A 20-year-old who has the foresight to just give thanks to a church who brought him the gospel through a friend at school inviting him to a kids' event. That's just amazing. Today, welcoming children and serving them in the way that Jesus does is still not work that is highly praised by people. People often find it easier and greater to do the work or the ministry or the serving that gets the big praise from people or the recognition. And I want to challenge us all, do you think that sometimes you can have that attitude towards ministry? Do you think sometimes you enjoy doing the things when people notice? And in fact, it's very difficult to do them when no one notices. Do you find yourself sometimes only wanting to serve in ways that are seen or recognised by people? Because Jesus says he can tell a true servant of God by the way they serve the least among us. Because that's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart that led him to become the servant of all, to become the lowest of all, to be sacrificed on a cross for you and me. He made himself lower than us to serve us. That is the heart that we must have to welcome the Father into our life. I want to finish by asking us all some questions. And I want you to be honest with your answers to yourself. You stand only before God as you read these. I've got a set of questions that you would have received on the sermon outline as you came in. Sermon outline, which is largely a few little points, but down the bottom, 10 questions. If you haven't got one, just move over next to someone who has one. Take these home and answer them with a pen so you can't erase them, and look at them again in a few weeks' time or a few months' time. But for now, let me read through them and answer them in your head between you and God. Because this isn't just about being involved in children's ministry. Don't hear this as a sermon on getting involved in kids' ministry. It's a sermon about the way Jesus calls us to be great, the way he calls us to serve. It's the attitudes of all of us about the way we welcome children in our lives. Just answer yes or no. Do you think conversations with adults are more important than conversations with children? And I suggest give an honest answer, because you know what the answer should be. Give an honest answer. Do you ever try to have a conversation with a child over morning tea or supper after church? Do you actually try to have a conversation with them? Do you resent having to clean up after children? Do you get frustrated when children are noisy or messy? No, it's hard. I'm thinking, isn't that natural to get frustrated? Or things? I'm just thinking, well, I don't know if Jesus would in the way he welcomed kids. Do you believe that what children learn is more important than the mess they make while they're learning? Do you cherish and appreciate the children we have at All Saints? Just to really think about that, how do you do that? How, in a practical sense, do you appreciate them and cherish them? Do you know, question 7, do you know what ministries to children we have here at All Saints? And if you do, do you invite other children or parents with children to those activities? Number 8, a question for us at the moment in our church life. When we talk about the church building work, do you consider the needs of our children above your own needs? Question 9, are we devoting or are you devoting enough resources, such as time or money or space, to welcoming children in your own life? And what about us in the life of our church? And the final one, would you be prepared to spend more time with children here at church? That might mean helping in ministry or leading or training in children's work or simply talking to them as people, as children of God. Not suggesting we just let the kids just do whatever they want and just happily smile and nod and say, oh, good, glad to have you at this church. It's not about that. I think we all know where the sensible line is with discipline. At least we should. But really, do we have a servant attitude towards them? I wonder how you went with those questions. I want to finish with just one more statistic. In a recent Australian poll among Australian Anglicans, they were asked, when did you become a Christian? When in your life did you become a Christian? 74% became Christians before the age of 20. 74%. Put your hand up here if you became a Christian before the age of 20. That's about 74%. Strange though, isn't it? Another 10% became Christians in their 20s. That means 84% of people become Christians before the age of 30. Now, ministry to young people is not only very, very, very important to God and his church, but, and here's the point of the whole sermon, it's not about getting you to join kids' ministries, although that's wonderful if you want to. It's a sign, the way we treat children is a sign of whether or not we as a church have the heart of the Father in the way we serve. Children are the litmus test. That's the test. How do you treat your children? Because that says what heart you have for God. That's the point that Jesus is making to the disciples. Because if you cannot have a heart that welcomes children as a servant to them, you do not have a heart that can welcome God. And something needs to change. The question I want to leave you with is, can you serve a child? I'm not asking, can you do children's ministry? I'm asking, can you serve a child? Children now love luxury, they have bad manners, contempt for authority, they show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. And God loves them. And we should love them too. And serve them. Let's pray while the band comes up for our final offertory song tonight. Father, we give you great thanks and praise that we have children at our church, in our lives, and around us in our society. We repent of our attitudes that see children neglected, abused, starving. We repent of the attitude that puts it out of our need to respond. Father, we pray that you give us hearts that are like yours. Hearts that desire, not only in this world, but in our church and in our ministries, to serve the children in our life. And we just pray for that heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.